Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and today I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of the Spine Buster, and quite possibly the originator of Cool Drip. I'm talking fedora hats, white sunglasses, gold chains, custom shirts, and a mahogany tan. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the Rome, Georgia fashion plate. He's the enforcer. He's double A. He's Arn Anderson. Arn, how are you this week?
You were on a roll till you hit the Rome, Georgia fashion plate. As many scraps as I got into, if I'd have had that get up prior to getting in the business, living in Rome, it'd have been even worse.
You may have not made it out back then. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Yeah, the only thing that saved me is I would have that look and then get out of town pretty quickly.
Well, Arn, we're going to get into it this week. And I know you and Conrad discussed the grind of all things the Great American Bash Tour last week. 45 plus days of cage matches, war games, title defenses, and very little rest. And at the conclusion of last week's episode, you and Conrad teased the future opponents for the Horsemen in August of 88. Well, buddy, we are here. And yes, sir, it's time to talk about him. The Midnight Express. And I cannot wait to talk about you and Tully and Jim Cornette and the Midnights. And as an old school wrestling fan, this matchup had so many possibilities. You know it's going to be a good match with excellent psychology. The promos are going to sell the tickets. And as you've mentioned concerning Barry for the past couple of weeks, it's all brand new. Talk a little bit about your excitement going into this with the Midnight Express.
Up until that time in the business, you just didn't have those matchups. Two top heel teams, you would have never booked it. I never saw it previous to that point in time, and it just wasn't done. So that alone, in this business, you only get a few firsts, and that was going to be a first. And I knew that Cornette running his yap versus JJ running his yap and the rest of us chiming in and Bobby Eaton speaking for the first time, man, it just had unlimited possibilities.
And everything you said, Arn, we got for you today. We got the clips. We got even Bobby Eaton running his yap. So this is going to be some really good stuff. So buckle up. I'm ready for August 1988. And for sure, a wrestling program such as this, because that's what's on the marquee, wrestling. It gives the old school wrestling fan like me, Dax the Axe, some hardwood. But if Sweet Stan and Beautiful Bobby Wrestling the Horsemen aren't the inspiration, you're looking to get ready for the Falls Count Anywhere match with your partner. So Arn, as I said, this is a program that arguably pitted the two best tag teams in the entire industry against one another. And today, my friend, we're going to relive it. Along the way, we're going to wrap up the Great American Bash. Are you ready to dive into this?
Cannot wait to relive it. Some stuff I remember very clearly, and some I was probably going to remind me here watching this. So let's do it.
All right, here we go. So we start in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's right, the city that's made famous by the Crusher. And we're at the Mecca here. It's August 1st. The Horsemen are going to begin the month with a War Games match. It's Dusty, Lex, Sting, and the Road Warriors. And they would defeat the NWA World Champion Ric Flair, Barry, and you and Tully and JJ in the War Games. Arn, you guys might have had all the gold, that there was no way the Horsemen left Milwaukee the winners. And this is undeniably your top 10 performers at this time. Think about it. I don't know if we've ever discussed this, but was there any concern from management or even the wrestlers about putting all the Crockett eggs, if you will, in one basket? I mean, think about it. Accidents, injuries could happen. And this is all the main event talent the company has at this time in this War Games match.
You can never in this business go to the ring worrying about getting hurt. If you do, you're going to get hurt. Everybody was in ring shape. Everybody was used to taking a beating by this point in time. It was all those guys were very, very physical. And so it was just one of those things that the real shocker of it was that you could have that many guys in one match and still have a full card of excellent talent. So you're talking about a super show, that would have been a super show.
Absolutely. What a card, if you can only imagine. But the headline really, I'm sure, brought all the fans out. And we'll move along, because the next day, you're now down to Columbus, Georgia, second from the top. You have the Horsemen, and here we go, the Midnight Express, wrestling to a double DQ. And in the second half of the double shot from the Municipal Auditorium in Sioux City, you and Tully, alongside with an H, lose to Sting, Dr. Death, and Nikita. And oh, by the way, Arn, on the third, you're going to Seattle, Washington. All four of the Four Horsemen were in the main event, losing to Lex, Nikita, and the Road Warriors. And I got to pause right here. 3 days, four cities, four matches, and we're just getting warmed up, my friend. This is the grind that you've spoken about before on the show time and time again. And this just isn't going from the north to the south. Now you're flying over to Seattle, and Crockett's running towns that are not necessarily always filled with fans. What are your thoughts on all this as we catch a breath here for a minute?
Well, it's, you know, we hadn't established Seattle as a Crockett town, that's for sure. But it was a great sports city. Now, I'm hoping you're going to tell me we had some success. Do we have any numbers?
We don't have numbers on the sellout of Seattle, what the numbers look like. You guys do go back to Seattle later on in the month. If it's not this month, I know there might be even a date in the beginning of September. So it couldn't have been too bad, because you do end up back there again.
Which probably went back too soon.
Yeah. Arn, we continue on. As we move forward here, it's August 4th, and you're in Las Vegas. And Jim Crockett debuted at the Thomas & Mack Center. Here we go. I got the numbers on this one. 3,200 in attendance. And in the semi-main event, you and Tully were disqualified, giving Nikita and Sting the win after you, sir, threw Nikita over the top rope with the intention of keeping the titles. That's absolutely shocking, isn't it?
It was my pleasure to throw him over the top rope, trust me. And sometimes if you're getting your ass kicked, you know, that's the only way you can save yourself, and you're the champion. Sounds like smart business to me.
That was the Horseman way back in those days, for sure. And you kept carrying those titles around. So there you go. We move on. It's August the 5th. You recorded TV from Atlanta. And thank goodness for you, Arn. Having competed the night before in Vegas, you and the other Horsemen, you're not there. So they didn't expect you to be in Atlanta after a night in Vegas. But the program did feature an interview where JJ was interrupted by the one and only Jim Cornette. And Arn, I have this highly entertaining exchange between these two gentlemen. Let's take a look.
Can't wait. Jim Cornette making light of the situation, and there's one of the fans back up here, if the camera can get a shot of it, holding up a sign, and I think that sign says it all for me, and that is four horsemen and four titles. I'm not out here to mince words with Jim Cornette. I've always had a lot of respect for him. We've kind of been friends, even though we've marched to different beats and followed different paths. The last time we were in Louisville, Jim Cornette graciously invited us all to come over to the mansion. We get over there, yeah, they got the nice champagne all chilled out, but we had to drink it out of these funny little shaped glasses, and we had to drink it through straws because Mama thinks that's cute.
First of all, that guy's been bringing signs over here for 6 months, and that's the first time he spelled all the words right. And second of all, those were julep glasses, and if you knew anything about it, you'd realize that. But the only thing that you ever drink is Ripple and Boone Farm, you Foster Brooks look alike, because that's your style.
Let me tell you something. You know, you can stand out here and you can make fun of the four horsemen. You can run them down as individuals, and certainly there are opponents that come a lot larger than Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. They come a lot smaller and a lot quicker. But a funny thing is, each night when the matches end and we pack the bags to leave the arena, what goes on top of the bag in a special case is the World Tag Team title belt. And I've been watching your face. I've been watching your face all throughout the match. Every time we pull up in one of the limousines, I know it eats your hearts out because you're coming in the taxi cab.
The only reason it eats my heart, shut up, you redneck. The only reason it eats my heart out is because we have never had a chance to wrestle for those belts, or we'd have them. But I tell you what, when we do wrestle, Tully and Arn, and when we beat you for the belts, if it'll make you happy, you can still put them in that nice special case, and your boys can carry them around for us. Would that make you feel any better, huh?
Let me give you one little special piece of advice. When you show up for the match, because apparently you're going to see this thing through.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
I'll give you a little special advice.
leave your tennis racket home.
Leave my tennis racket home, huh? Leave something about my tennis racket? Don't lie. I'll tell you what, JJ. I might leave my tennis racket home, but I might bring it because you might need it. Because you got a real bad habit of letting those shoes of yours, those little $12.99 Buster Brown specials, get away from you at ringside. Well, if that shoe comes off your foot when that match takes place with the Midnight Express, then you're going to need this tennis racket. It's going to be an extra-large shoehorn to dig that shoe out of your ear where it's going to get stuck by me or the Midnight Express.
Oh, how fun was that, those two guys together going at it back and forth?
Platinum. Worth his weight in platinum.
A couple things stuck out to me here, Arn. First of all, $12.99 busted brown shoes might have been the line of the promo. Corny's poking fun of the man with the most dangerous loafers in all of wrestling. I saw Tony Schiavone look down at his shoes after he said it. We haven't even seen the match yet. Does it get any better than Jim Cornette, though?
Two premium promo guys.
Yeah.
Totally different. And if you notice, they went back and forth, but nobody stepped on each other. You know, that's an art. You know, that's timing. That's all those things that makes a pro. And, you know, throughout their entire careers, those guys were just vintage talkers. And this was, having this kind of content to talk about on top of it, man, glorious.
Immediately, for like you said at the top of the show, we're not used to seeing two kind of heel teams face off against each other. But immediately after that, we're all invested. Just watching Jim Cornette and J.J. Dillon go back and forth on the mic. You're like, oh, this is going to be good. Because you can imagine what the promos are going to be like.
It's just going to escalate from here.
That's right. Well, later in the same program, a previously recorded interview with you and Tully, you're standing ringside, it aired, and you two addressed the coming challenge of the Midnights. And, of course, we have that segment, so let's go ahead and listen to that one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, the World Tag Team Champions, the Midnight Express. Guys, they
you
got
know, David Crockett, run. David Crockett, the thing with Arn and myself and Stan and Bobby, you know, we've tipped a few beers together, and I know it weighs real heavy on Arn because he's been such good friends with Bobby for a long time, even before the creation of the Horsemen. But you know, when it comes down to this and feeding families and the pride and the prestige, and when you walk through the airports, they go, hey, champ! And it ain't the Midnight Express turning around, it's the Horsemen, Arn and myself in particular. That's what it all comes down to. The match is signed, and we'll be there.
Bobby, there is no tighter unit ever in the history of God's earth, I'm talking life, than the Four Horsemen. We're a family, we're friends, we're everything in this world to each other. We travel, eat, sleep, train together. And what we do in that ring brings us together ever closer. But a lot of times I've stepped away from the Horsemen to go be with Bobby Eaton. Bobby Eaton was my friend. So now I get away from that, and I ask you, every team that's ever wrestled the Midnight Express based their interview to Jim Cornette. Cornette, I'm not even going to talk about you, because the bottom line is, you start the fight, and they got to fight it. Stan Lane, we were an acquaintance. That's all we ever were. And when we get that karate in on me, buddy, I'll kung fu it down your throat.
Will be a t-shirt available at arnshow.com real soon. I love that line. Arn, the realism of the promo. I love the approach. You're not shying away from the fact that you're all a riding buddies. You're truly friends. This is the kind of thing that gets people invested in asses in seats, man. Anything you would like to add after watching that?
Well, it's accurate. We spent all day, every day on the road. Not when we're home. It was you go and you be every minute with your family. But when you're on the road and you're out there anyway, why not go to the gym together? You know, why not have a meal together? Why not have a few beers together? Because you're out there anyway. And it just, you know, we were together almost, other than the 5 hours that we tried to get for sleep every night, we were together the rest of the day. And it just made for a very close unit. It was a family.
Yeah, absolutely. I love seeing this come together. So even though the Horsemen are not on television, you're competing at the home of the Lakers. You're in Inglewood, California. That night, fans at the Great Western Forum watched War Games. And in that match, it was Dusty, Luger, and the Road Warriors, and Paul Ellering defeating the Horsemen when J.J. submitted to the figure four leg lock. The next day, 6,000 fans at the Kaiser Convention Center in Oakland watched the same match. So you guys are doing pretty strong here. Some 6,000 is not a shabby number on the West Coast. The finish, came at the 24-minute mark when Luger forced JJ to submit to the torture rack. And here we go again on August 7th. We're 7 days into this month, and I feel like I've read like 8 match cards already. 6,800 people watched the finale. Here we are, the finale of the 88 Great American Bash, when in the main event, Dusty Luger and Dick Murdoch defeated you, Wyndham, and Flair in a cage. So let's talk about Murdoch. It's someone that we've touched on in past episodes. Anything you can share about Dusty's old tag partner and one half of the Texas Outlaws?
Well, Dick Murdoch was like a half a generation ahead of me. When I first got in the business, he was already a proven veteran. He had a history of being partners with Dusty and pretty much went around to every territory probably that there was by this point in time. And he was just a guy that was as good as he wanted to be that night. If he wanted to be an entertainer, he would go out and entertain. If he wanted to be a strict, no-nonsense, slug-it-out type guy, if that's what it called for, that's what he gave you. Just one of those guys that was very comfortable in his own skin, had a proven track record, and was a top guy anywhere he went. And Captain Redneck, it was a colorful character, and people bought it.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely remember the Captain Redneck moniker, and he's just a good old boy, tough man. That's for sure, and that's how he carried himself. Arn, before we do move on, I don't think that I can possibly understate how physical and how demanding, intense, stressful this Great American Bash Tour was. Think about it. It's just not a loop for a local circuit. It's 45 days, coast to coast, town to town, match to match, stipulation to stipulation. You guys went out and delivered the matches to the fans, man. My hat is off to you, sir. Genuinely an amazing effort. After spending the last 3 weeks talking about this tour, can you summarize for us, for your audience, the thoughts, emotions, etc., of what that tour was like, that grinding tour throughout the summer in those war games?
Well, it was easier when you would stop and pinch yourself sometimes and go, you know, last night was X number of dollars. The night before was X number of dollars. We've already heard the advance for the next 2 days. And business was very good, very solid. Everywhere wasn't a sellout, but we were running big buildings. We were running, you know, arenas outside, outdoor arenas. We were running all kind of big, big venues. But the main thing is what people don't understand is, you know, rest is key. When you fly all night, and make no mistake, don't make light of switching time zones. When you go from the East Coast to the West Coast and a day and a half later you're heading back three quarters of the way across country and then maybe doubling back to the West Coast or something, what that does to your body is just unbelievable. Now, there's not a soul on that crew that wouldn't We wouldn't have traded one day of that and all that hardship of no sleep and working your ass off and, hey, fighting the Road Warriors every night. It's no picnic. You know, it's really not. And to go through that physical beating on your body and not getting enough quality food and not being able to eat when you need to eat and all those things is something that you sacrifice as on a tour like that. I would say it's as hard a tour as there's ever been with any company in the business. And I would venture to say the guys that got through it and were still kicking ass when the bells, you know, rang, it was like we took a lot of pride. That crew of guys took a lot of pride in our product. And everybody showed it every day they were there.
And let's not mince words here. When you're talking about traveling across time zones, you know what you're losing. You know time, but that is essentially you're losing sleep. That's the time that you could have had sleeping that is gone, essentially.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, if you go three time zones, it takes you a couple of days for your body to catch up. Now, if you double back and you go three time zones the other way in a couple of days, man, your body, by the time you get back to the East Coast, doesn't have a clue where you're at. You know, it's really a frustrating thing because you have this, you're in this daze that you really can't put your finger on why you're in this daze, but it's just switching time zones.
Well, we're 3 days now out after the Bash Tour ended, and Crockett was back at center stage. And the show concludes in the best way possible. All the horsemen are at the desk, which we all loved. They're strutting ass. They're bragging. They're putting the baby faces over. Arn, let's listen to what Nate had to say here in this next clip.
Ric Flair, the king in his court. The horsemen, look at him.
What we have right here is a family situation that causes distress to the heart of every wrestler in the world today. And Lex Luger, the bottom line is, you came out here and you called it as you saw it, and that is Ric Flair and the Horsemen are at the peak of their game. In other words, the World Tag Team Champion, the United States Heavyweight Champion, the mastermind that controls it all. In my own humble little way, I'm just the world's heavyweight champion. So Nikita, Luger, Sting, Dr. Death, all the Road Warriors, Lex Luger, and last but not least, Your Highness, Sir Dusty Rhodes, y'all just have to go out back and pull your own chain, because there's nobody here in this great family that really cares what you think, what you want, or what you can do. Because as Arn Anderson said, all you know is what we tell you. That's the bottom line, because we are the Horsemen. We are the world champions. We are the very best that this sport has to offer. And a lot of you wrestlers out there, a lot of you fans out there don't like it. But the bottom line is, once again, learn to like it, because it is the best thing going today. God bless each and every one of you. You got a problem? You got a problem? It's no problem. Look us up.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the Horsemen, you've got to say that they definitely rule the wrestling world.
Smiles all around, Arn. Everybody's got big grins. How much fun was it just to go out there together and stand behind that booth with Crockett or Schiavone and do your thing like that?
Well, we look remarkably healthy to have damn near bled to death for 45 days, huh?
That's so true.
Think about that for a minute. Yeah, man, it was like the end of something very, very big, and we knew that. We had set a precedent, but we also felt like it was the beginning of a whole new era, and the Midnight Express thing was looming. We knew that was going to be a hell of a shot in the arm. So, yeah, that was one of those promos where it wasn't necessary for the rest of us to say anything. Rick said it all.
Yeah, which is interesting. Here we are in August, and next week it's September. And, buddy, there's only 10 dates that you'll do for Crockett before you transition to the WWE, you know, WWF. So it seems, though, back here this time, all was good, at least out in front of the fans and the wrestling group. But we'll come to find out things were going to start shaking up here in a few weeks. So let's get back to some of the results here in August. August 12th, there's 9,500 people filling the Norfolk Scope. Yes, Arn. I've saw on social media, that's how the locals say it, Norfolk, okay, not Norfolk, to watch the Horsemen get their asses kicked. It was Arn and Tully. You guys were facing the Midnights. This one ended in a double disqualification. Arn, this is a regular stop where the Horsemen and Midnights were heels always. So tell us about how you guys would have played this one once you're in front of the audience, considering the way the crowd felt about both of you. They hated both of you. So how would you have played that?
Let the crowd cheer for who they want. Let them boo who they want. And we will just follow suit.
So you're not necessarily going out of your way as far as your heel tactics or not doing it. You're just going to continue to wrestle your styles, and whoever they cheer for, they cheer for.
If you think about it throughout time, when a established star switches from, quote, good guy to bad guy or bad guy to good guy, you don't change your style. That never changes because that's what got you to the dance. All you do is just you treat the way you handle the fans, the way you handle your opponents. It's all attitude. But the move set never changes for the guys that know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you continue on. It's all midnights throughout August here. August 13th, Macon, Georgia, you and Tully would fight them again to a double disqualification. The 17th, back at Center Stage. It's a WCW Saturday night recording for August 20th. And during the show, you, Tully, and JJ, and our AFS colleague, Mr. Jim Ross, JR, are at the desk for an interview concerning, of course, the Midnight Express, and shit's about to get real here. Let's check it out.
And the Midnight Express. And obviously, as I mentioned, that is a great confrontation, but there are teams like the Sheepherders that were throwing out the name of the Horsemen as well.
Well, certainly we have to look at the Fantastics. We have to look at teams like Nikita Koloff and Ricky Morton. We have to look at the Fantastics. We have to look at all of them. But right now, the number one contenders are the United States Tag Team Champions. That is the Midnight Express. You know, I had a reporter ask me this morning, your illustrious career, many times you were in the ring. When was the last time you were hurt? And I said, well, oddly enough, the last time I was hurt was today. I said, really? Well, who hurt you? I said, well, in kind of a funny kind of way, it was Jim Cornette, because I laughed so hard at the things he said, my side hurt. But you see, in order for the Midnight Express to become World Tag Team Champions, they're going to have to do it in the ring, not with jokes, one-liners, and cute comments. And we'll see just how funny it is if Tully Blanchard takes Stan Lane and puts him in the slingshot suplex. Ha, ha, ha! We'll see how funny it is if Arn Anderson grabs Bobby Eaton, the good friend he is, and puts him in the guard buster. Ha, ha, ha! Things are going to change around here. I've about had it with both of them.
You know, Jim Ross, you sit out here, you're very astute. You're one of the greatest announcers professional wrestling has ever seen. But you know, you come out here, everybody wants to be the world's tag team champion. This says it all. This is the glory, the money, what everybody does, any professional sport in the world. They want to be the best. They want to win a Super Bowl. They want to win the World Series. They want to be the world champion in basketball. You want to be the greatest boxer, the greatest this, the greatest anything. That's very understandable. Now, to come out here and try to psychologize us, Jim Cornette, and play mind games with the Horsemen, it doesn't work. That's fine, because we don't even care if you come. We're wrestling the Midnight Express. That's Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton. That's who Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard are wrestling. We don't care about you or your racket. J.J. Dillon can take well enough care of you.
Let's talk truths. If I can take a little bit of this valuable time, I want to talk truths. One truth is, the Horsemen went into the bashes, 42 of them, as the champions. Everybody said the odds of them coming out champions, astronomical. Proof in the pudding. Another truth is, Midnight Express, you are the United States champions, and I came out here and spent more valuable interview time saying how cute, what a womanizer Stan Lane was, how much I loved Bob Eaton. More wasted time. The only truth that matters, you don't take fiction, you take one fact. The fact is the Four Horsemen dominate wrestling. Bobby Eaton, you do some spectacular stuff. Who cares? Wars are won and lost in the trenches. Stan Lane, I've never had a love for you anyway. So the bottom line is, when we go into this, if you want to make it a war, we'll make it a war. Want to make it a wrestling match, we'll make it a wrestling match. Jim Cornette, you are not a variable in any of this. You stand out there with your racket, you talk to your mama's not a variable. You talk about backing, financial backing, money, clout, we got it all. We make this sport go around. You want to make this a comedy store, you do it on your own time. We don't joke, we don't laugh. When you're talking about Mercedes-Benz, you're talking about big houses, you're talking about flying women all over the country, first class, that's the way we practice. The bottom line is, we are the class of this sport, and we didn't get it by making a lot of wisecracks. You want to win these, you got to beat us. And that's a task none of them done. Sting, Rhodes, Nikita Koloff, Rock and Roll Express, any of them, they've all come up short. Because you try to take what we've got, we'll destroy any man that tries to take our meal ticket.
You know, guys, I think you go back to that original meeting at ringside in Columbus, Georgia, when Stan Lane said, we want some of those big paydays.
Earn them.
Well, big man, the only way you get big paydays in this business today is wrestle the horsemen.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. So listen, once your glasses came off, it's like you turned into the Incredible Hulk, Arn. That's when shit did get real. But on a serious note, it's a touch of beauty that the true target of the horseman is the venom is towards Cornette, not Bobby and Stan. He's showing the respect for the Midnights while keeping the heat. And then Tully's closing line, it's the chef's kiss on the five-star meal. What did you think about this?
Well, you almost have to make a big deal out of Cornette because he's such a focal point.
Yeah.
He's such a mouthpiece, and he does all the talking, and he, you know, all the insults come out of his mouth. They don't come out of the other guys. So can't go wrong really featuring him, as long as you're always smart enough to let the world know that we knew just how good the Midnight Express are.
Absolutely. You guys move on from here to August 18th. You and Stan Lane wrestle to a double DQ and a singles match at the Dorton Arena in Raleigh. And then the next day on the 19th, 13,000 packed it out in Richmond at the Richmond Coliseum in the semi-main event. At this point, a regular spot on the card for you and Tully. And the Horsemen fought the Midnights to another double disqualification. We move on. It's August 20th, and on an episode of NWA Pro, Tony Schiavone interviews all the Horsemen. Each of you addressed the upcoming matches, and you had some more pointed words for your old friends. Let's take a look.
Say what you want to about these men, but the hardware is all here. Everywhere you look, a gold belt for the four Horsemen.
Well, I hope Mr. Cornette's watching. No, I've always had a lot of respect for Jim Cornette. After all, he took the Midnight Express and guided them to the United States Championship belt. That's a major accomplishment for any manager, but Jim Cornette has got to be the most obnoxious individual I've ever heard in my life. He's always been that way. I'm told when he was a little kid, his mother tried to bribe all the other kids to come over and play with him so he'd have friends. That didn't work. She went down to the local pet center and bought every dog in the joint, brought him over so he'd have something to play with. That didn't work, so she bought a 10-pound pork chop and hung it around his neck. Well, Cornette, you mess with me, I'm going to hang something besides a pork chop around your neck.
Sting, the man after that U.S.
I tell you what, Sting, you know exactly where I am, and what you're doing is barking at the wrong tree. Now, if you seem to think that this championship right here should belong on your waist, you have another thought coming. I'll tell you what, I have something for you in mind, and you had better be fully aware at all times, because, Sting, when I get a hold of you, you will know exactly what has happened. You're going to tuck your tail between your legs, and you're going to have to take it home because this championship is staying right here in this camp.
Tony Schiavone, I'm going to talk to the athletes involved in this situation. I don't waste my time on Jim Cornette because he's not available on anything that'll happen. But Stan and Bobby, what we're going to do on this national television program once again is defend these titles against Sting and Nikita Koloff, who 10 million people saw on national television in Baltimore, take us to the limit. Now tonight, when we take it, when they take us to that limit, if they can, and they come up this much short, it's going to be the same story involved with you. Whether we wrestle 30 minutes, whether we wrestle 60 minutes, 90 minutes, you're still going to be 20 seconds short because the U.S. Tag Champions are great. They're fabulous in their own right, but they're not World Tag Team Champions. That belongs to the Horsemen like it always will. Friendship goes out the window when my Mercedes payment falls behind. Let that hit home with you. Oh, how do I follow all of that? The bottom line of this conversation is you as the general viewing public have got picture of success. You all are like a
bunch of girls. We love to lie to you. We love to cheat on you. We love to brag and tell you how it is. The difference is we wake up in the morning, we're the champions of the world, and you are the common people. Luger, keep the jockey t-shirt in the locker where it belongs. Ah!
Arn, when the Nature Boy comes on and says, how do I even top that? You know you were spitting out some truth and some fire. My favorite line right there. Friendship goes out the window when my Mercedes payment falls behind. You have been on fire this month, my friend. I love it.
Well, we may over-exaggerate some of that stuff. I think we've established flying the girls around first class may be a bit of a stretch, but it just, when Rick's standing there, you got to go ahead and dress up his act, don't you?
Hey, entertainment at its finest. It's blurring the lines between reality and what was, you know, actually going on. But it was just awesome, you know, to hear you guys cutting promos. So believable, but to your point, you know, you had some fun with it. But my goodness, some of the lines just, you know, you didn't need writers back then. Those were Arn Anderson originals.
Yep. Everybody's promos came from within, and that's what made them. Well, it was just us talking to the audience. It wasn't a promo. It was just us having a one-on-one with our audience.
So good. Well, that evening, we're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Civic Center, and you're in an eight-man tag. Listen to this crew, Arn. It's Tully, Al Perez, and our favorite cigar store Indian, Larry Zbysko. You're in that group with them. And you're coming up short against Sting, Dr. Death, Ricky Morton, and Brad Armstrong. Boy, what a talented quartet that was.
Yeah, I think we might have been overmatched in that particular match. I don't know.
I mean, my goodness, talent everywhere. Al Perez, there's a name. Any good stories about the fond memories of Al Perez?
Yeah, I mean, Al was very talented, you know, handsome guy, good physique, good wrestler. He's, you know, he did well throughout the business, throughout his career. He was one of those guys that, you know, had a, maybe just flew under the radar just a little bit, that maybe was really talented.
Yeah, he was, I think, earmarked to be the Black Scorpion at one point. That didn't pan out that way. But always I remember him with Gary Hart in that group. So there you go. So we're into Cincinnati the following day. You and Tully lost to the Road Warriors by way of DQ. And then it's the 23rd from the Fairgrounds in Sumter, South Carolina. You and Tully would wrestle the Midnight Express to another double disqualification. And we move on to the 24th of the month, where you recorded some television from the TBS studios. And the episode of World Championship Wrestling would air on the 27th of the month. And on the program, it is revealed that the Horsemen attacked Bobby Eaton in the dressing room. And, sir, we will have that attack, the ending of that attack, and Jim Cornette's response. Let's take a look.
Comes down to the ring. Gives Jim Cornette some information here. We got a camera following back into the locker room. Let's go back into the locker room now.
Hey, and there's the reason. That's exactly what.
All right, fans, you have seen the tape now. You know what has happened, and they are not denying what they have done.
Arn Anderson, there was a point in time where Bobby Eaton was your best friend. He would have given you the shirt off his back. So what'd you do? You got you and your little geek-faced friends together, and you jumped him in a dress room, and you ripped the shirt off his back. Well, let me tell you something. The Four Horsemen, they go all around bragging about jumping Dusty Rhodes in a parking lot, jumping Lex Luger in a parking lot, all the people that you have jumped on. Well, let me tell you something, brother. This time, you jumped on somebody that's going to jump back. We jumped on Dusty Rhodes, too, and the Road Wars, and the Rock and Roll Express, and the Fantastics. And I'll tell you what, Four Horsemen, we left them in a whole lot, hell of a lot worse shape than you left Bobby Eaton, brother. So you ain't got nothing on us. I guarantee you this, and you remember this, J.J. Dillon. This time, you jump first. Next time, we're going to jump first, brother.
You know something, Jim Ross, with the Horsemen approved by beating up Bobby a little bit in the dressing room? They've told us they're scared of us. They've proved, I guess, you know, the whole time these guys
cruise around in their limousines and sip champagne and party with their ladies of the evening. The whole time they've been doing this, well, they've been shaking in their underpanties. You guys don't want to face us two on two, do you? So you try to eliminate one, but it didn't work because punching and kicking Bobby around will not put him out. The next time we get in that ring, fellas, we're going to leave with your straps and leave the horsemen looking like horses you know what.
You know, I've been getting my butt kicked in the wrestling business since I was 16 years old. And I've lost a few wrestling matches, but I've never lost one fight to one man in or out of the ring. But that night there were three of you guys, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, and you, Arn Anderson. But next time you meet with us, it's going to be all three of us, and you're going to wish you looked this good when we get through with you.
Yeah! Yeah! All right, ladies and gentlemen, this situation is boiling, and we'll be back with more action here on the Super Station.
What do you think about that, Arn? Getting to go back and see your old friend Bobby talking there.
Powerful. Mm. Didn't have to be smooth. Didn't have to be perfect. Just had to be emotional. And that's what it was. And that's what made it special. And it escalated right there. That angle, that program escalated big time.
Goosebumps, really well done. He didn't need to talk much, Bobby didn't, but man, it was good. JR summed it up, said this is boiling, and it is fire. Cornette sells the attack as though you guys tried to destroy Bobby, and we're off to the races, man, with this angle with you and the Midnights.
Business just picked up.
You got it. The Horsemen issued a response in the only way they could, in the best possible way, with David Crockett at the desk. This is our final clip of the week. And here's what you guys said in response to that intense Midnight Express promo. Let's check it out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the World Tag Team Champions. The Brave World Tag Team Champions.
You know, David Crockett, it makes no difference what kind of adjectives you put on it. The bottom line is, Bobby Eaton, you came out here and said three of us attacked you in the dressing room, and that's a downright lie. You lied to the public. You're so frustrated, don't know what you're doing, carrying those United States Tag Team titles around, and you want to be on top of the world so bad, you came out here and lied, make it sound worse than it really was. J.J. Dillon was nowhere to be seen. He was not there. It was just Arn and me. We were hitting you so fast and so hard, you thought it was maybe nine people. But no, there's not nine horsemen. There's only five, but Flair and Windham were in the ring, so it couldn't have been them. It was just us two. No J.J., and that's the bottom line.
Be forewarned, or foretold, I might say, is to be forewarned. It's not like, Bobby, that I went to you and said, I want to be U.S. Tag Team Champion. You started this. You let Cornette, the man that suffered from a hormone imbalance, do your thinking. That's where you messed up. Now, what I've noticed is after this little altercation, if we wanted to put you out, Bobby, we could have done it. Your family has been calling me once again ever since all this happened. The only difference being this time I didn't talk to them because I didn't take the collect calls. You understand what I'm saying? If we wanted to put you out, we would have. The story goes like this. When you become a champion in a cutthroat sport like professional wrestling, you got to observe what everybody does best. We have always been called double up, triple up, quadruple up. We've been accused of it all our life. It's just like cheating on your wife. If you're going to be accused of it, go ahead and do it. You're going to take the heat anyway. So you say we like to double up, we double up. Now when you come for our meal tickets, you come for the thing that we live for, you got to expect the very worst. It's not going to be a wrestling match. Cornette, you want to whack me with a racket? John McEnroe couldn't knock me out if the world depended on it. So I'm going to give you one little story. There's these two little dogs always chasing that big Mercedes down the street, gnawing at the tires, barking, 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 day after day after day, thinking they really want to bite that vehicle that makes them so mad, makes them so envious, until they stick their nose out too far, and that big Mercedes smacks them and knocks them in the ditch. And all of a sudden, once they've been smacked in the ditch, or the dressing room, any way you want to look at it, they don't think, I want to jump on that Mercedes again. They think they should be happy just squatting on fire hydrants, what they do best.
All right, there it is, Arn. Final promo. What are your thoughts on what you delivered there?
What an asshole.
I was thinking the same thing, but I wanted you to say it.
Yeah, you got to look at it for what it is. What a real dick.
It's like cheating on your wife. If you're going to be accused of it, go ahead and do it. I was like, he's going to think what an asshole I was.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you get in those situations, it's like it's just whatever pops in your head.
That's right. It's exactly the answer that I had. I was in my notes. I'm like, he's going to think, man, what an asshole thing I just said there. So, but you're in your youth. You're like you said, you're in the situation. You're fired up. You're sweating Crisco. You just got done wrestling. And it's all to move this thing forward. But there it was, man. That's it. That's the home stretch for August of 1988 as we finish out the show. We'll talk about kind of how it wraps up. So we go to the 25th, Columbus, Georgia. You and Tully wrestled the Midnights to a double DQ. We're talking a lot of double DQs here, but we're getting to something here soon. You'll see it. Then you're at the Omni, 13,000, your favorite building, 700 fans. Watch the Road Warriors defeat you and Tully by disqualification. August 27th, 13,500 in the Charlotte Coliseum. Watch you and Tully fight the Midnight Express to a no contest. Then you're over to Greensboro on the 28th. And 6,000 more fans saw the same match with the same outcome. And then from the Ocean Center in Daytona Beach, Florida, on the 28th, the Horsemen were defeated by Dusty, Paul Ellering, the Road Warriors, and Nikita in a 10-man tag. Finally, as we start to wrap it down, the 29th in Greenville, you and Tully wrestled the Midnights to a double disqualification. TV taping in Savannah the next day featured the same match, same finish between the Horsemen and the Midnights. And then on the 31st, it was recorded television from the TBS studios, but that since that show doesn't appear until September 3rd, we're going to cover what happened on that episode next week. But Arn, you and Tully fought the Midnight Express all over the country following the Great American Bash and sold out arena after arena. You heard some of those numbers there, 13,000 here, 13,000 there. Thousands of people saw the tour and the subsequent fallout. JCP was on the surface, still very hot across the country.
Yeah, you know, if you look at those numbers and you go back and you kind of remember 6 months before that, we were doing good business. But anytime you can do 13,000 and then another 13,000 back-to-back, business is good. That's a lot of folks. And you could just feel that we were having a resurgence within the company, and that match was kind of leading the way. The reason we had all those double DQs and all that was it just got out of hand quickly. Yeah. And, when you have the intensity and you have a personal angle like that, it didn't take long for it to flame up. And that's pretty much what happened.
Arn, in less than 15 days from this time period we just covered, you and Tully would leave Jim Crockett Promotions. Next week, we're going to discuss the seemingly abrupt end of the run that started in 1985 when the man from Rome, Georgia became an Anderson. And I am looking forward to covering that with you next week.
Well, the business is about to change. The landscape is fixing to change drastically.
I'm telling you, you're going to want to tune in for that one. We have some clips from the Crockett interview that Conrad did that we're going to play as part of that and get Arn's reaction, so you don't want to miss it. This is the final 15 days of Arn and Tully together in Jim Crockett Promotions and what happened in the month of September. So, Arn, with that, it's going to wrap us up this week. Thank you again for doing this with me this week, my friend, and we'll be back again next week for September 1988, sir.
Thank you, Paul. You're a gentleman and a very learned sportscaster. Much appreciated.
You got it. On behalf of the enforcer, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you again right here next week on Arn.